Independent Radio. I'm Carol Olson.
And I'm Chelsea Hayes Wise, your host.
And this month we've been talking about the influence of politics on education. And we return this week to our conversation with local educators, Dr. Amy Rector, professor in anthropology from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from the Northside Coalition for Children, and we have Portia Foster, special ed teacher and a member of the Young Dems.
What I was stating earlier about the five that has been defined as actual school shootings, of course, the media across the country has said it's been 19 or 20 or 18. And so I just wanted to be clear for the audience that are listening is that the media doesn't define what a school shooting is. Every state educational, but every department of education in every state has their clear definition of what a school shooting is. So I want to encourage every listener to go to the State Department of Education website and also the U.S. Department of Education website and look at the definition of a school shooting. Just because a shooting has occurred on the block of a school does not justify a school shooting, and that has occurred across the United States. Arming teachers in classrooms with weapons is not the answer, such as a gun. Because of the increased suspension rate of our minority students, for whatever reason, because they bought, you know, some people don't believe that minority students hunt. Well, I hunted when I was a child, and I always kept a hunter's knife in my notebook or my backpack. Not because I wanted to hurt somebody, but just because I just forgot to take it out of my backpack
Right. Growing
up in Cuckoo, Virginia. So I just wanted to shout out Cuckoo, Virginia. But the issue is because of the increased suspension rates of minority students, for whatever reason, right, whatever the increased rate is and why that is, and I could stay on this topic all day, but what if a child, a minority student, or any child does not sit down quick enough for the teacher?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go there because this is real.
This is
what I deal with every day.
Yeah.
This is real. So what if they don't quite sit down fast enough for that teacher? Or what if they are playing basketball with their balled up paper because they're bored from instruction?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you gonna do? You better sit down or, right?
Or you're standing up, you're in my face, I'm now in fear.
And now I'm in fear.
If they're talking back
of you,
or just being assertive.
Absolutely, you better say so.
You know?
Absolutely. I was fearful of this student who was 7'2 or 6'8 or whatever, right? And so I drew my weapon. Weapons on teachers are not the answer.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Legislation, as Portia pointed out, is the answer. And when are we going to be big people enough to have this conversation about looking at the legislation? Now, I am and choose to be, I support guns in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with them. Like I said, I'm a country girl, so we hunted a lot, right? But when there is no education about the weapon, a pen could be a weapon.
Right.
A pencil, a pair of scissors could be a weapon. It's education.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
addressing the issue.
You talked about education, and I love the point that you challenge the listeners to critique the data that we get.
Absolutely.
Right? We always need to be looking at the numbers that they give us, even if it's like, oh, well, school shootings. Well, how did you get those numbers? So I love that you brought that up, as well as just education around gun safety, guns, period, and the difference between automatic rifles, things like that, an AR-15 versus a handgun, that sort of thing. So what do you think about the link of the local responsibility once you get past educators, legislators, our community members? How do you feel about that type of influence here?
In regards to gun safety,
gun
control.
Right, gun control and having the community voices heard, and something like the bootleggers ball. Like, there are ways to have their voices heard about this piece. Do you think that that connects? Do you think those are separate issues? How do you feel about those?
I think holistically, it's under one umbrella.
Okay.
Yeah. With different moving parts that all connect back to violence when you're using guns incorrectly or ineffectively. Okay. And so our community leaders, and not just our community leaders, because serving as a former school board member, I always share it with parents. I always share it with teachers. I always share it with principals or whomever in the school district. When you know, you do better. You cannot leave it up to us, the 9+1 who govern the school district to make decisions for you, because not all of us are educators. Not all of us have worked in a school district. Not all of us have worked in a school. So we are making decisions based on what we hear from people that we eat dinner with sometimes, or that we hang out with. But you have to be aware of what the policies are that govern you. So when you have missed, when you have run out of your sick leave time, right? And you're not aware that, and I'm going somewhere, you're not aware that your payroll or your paycheck is going to be docked. You got to know why that is, right? So I said all that to say, community leaders cannot be the only one having all of the information. We need to educate the people. And sometimes as community people, and I'm going to say it, as elected officials, as people bearing the arms, we don't want people to know more than we do, or know as equal as much as we do, because then they know.
The gatekeeper syndrome.
The gatekeper syndrome.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to give you the key.
Right.
I'm going to make a copy and give you the same copy that I have.
Right.
Because I can't be the only one bearing this information.
So do you think that airing out the information about the sponsor for the Bootleggers Ball,
is
talking
important.
About the tracking timeline of they put this out, they're talking about the raffle, oh, school shooting happens, never mind, just kidding, it's not a raffle, we would never do that, and then it's like, oh no, we're not associated with the tactical arms people, but having the crowd, having the community, having the information that absolutely yes, you were okay creating this narrative with your event, that's important for the host, for the venue, for the sponsors, for the attendees. I think
absolutely.
It's important for everyone to know, so that education piece that you're saying is important for us to know. That way we can make decisions for ourselves about how we want to voice with that.
You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and guns.
So let me ask you guys, do you guys feel like the Bootleggers Ball, after they heard what was going on, them retracting it and changing that piece, was that enough?
I will say no.
Okay.
I will say that I believe that they actually are in an interesting position, this Bootleggers Ball, because people have presumably purchased the tickets, and people who are potentially, oh, no, not ARFMC, we mean, like, are you the 15th person to be here? It's like, you know, like, trying to change that narrative. No. Let's completely change the narrative, and let's still utilize the funds that are already we have, and let's make this something more. Let's make this event versus a ball and make it into an opportunity for effective change.
Okay.
Let's make this into a form.
Ooh, so Portia, that's a big charge. Okay, Amy, what do you think? Do you think that them switching up is enough?
I don't know.
That's honest. I like that.
I don't, because it's a start, you know?
Okay.
It's a start in the right direction. But like Portia's saying, I feel like there could be more to this, because at this point, it almost just feels like they've tried to hide what it was, but there's nothing actually changing about, I don't think there's actually anything changing about where the money's coming from or the people who are putting it on. There hasn't been, it's more of a let's kind of pretend it wasn't happening kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the next best step would be, but I wish that it would be more.
Okay. Shonda, what do you think?
I don't know either if it's enough, but what I do know is that changing in the midst of what they had already planned to do sends a signal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. I am pleased that you said, oh, okay, I need to change this, but it was only after your hand was caught in the cookie jar.
Exactly.
Before you had your supper, right?
Exactly.
And so because you were caught, that forced you to change in the midst. What would have happened if we did not tragically have the school shooting last week? What would you have done? Would you have continued with your plan?
Probably.
So those are legitimate and valid questions that we need to be addressing. And again, it goes back to the people that, see, our people of all races, doesn't matter what ethnic group you come from, but individuals – make up the community, exactly. not the elected officials.
Exactly.
Let's be clear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think
let's be clear. So when the people have the power based on the information that they research, and that's the thing with this millennial generation, they're like, why no? I'm going to go find out why. You telling me no. So they're more eager to jump out there and do the research and homework on their own, whereas some of us in this room were like, oh, okay, well, yeah, you told me no. Well, no is going to be good enough. And now we're empowered enough, or maybe we knew no wasn't good enough, but we weren't quite empowered right. to find out why no mm-hmm. was no. That's what this generation, those young people that were impacted, they were like, no, this is too much for us.
It's enough.
It's enough.
See, I actually think that our generation does know because right. it takes really just a small amount of shaming for them to backtrack.
Right.
So I feel like people push it forward.
The point.
You know, based off what money they're going to make, based off whatever political agenda they have, whatever capitalist venture that they're within.
Money, 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 money.
Right.
That's all it is. She just said money three
money.
Times.
Yeah. That's right.
And then they backtrack the minute shaming happens. So they
right.
know.
Right.
They know.
You're
right.
I think that right. to add, to kind of culminate both of your points, I think when you were talking about your generation, when they know that it's no and they know that no is incorrect, they go a different route. Mm. I think what is happening here is that the millennial generation is going, okay, now that you're at that route, that's cute, but I want to know why you said no. And now that we're on this different route, we're going to meet back at this point and let everybody understand why. And then that comes to shaming you.
It mm-hmm. does. Okay, so I just want to also put this piece of information in, and this is just to fill in more information, as Shonda was saying, to know. The fundraiser for this Bootleggers Ball is for the Police Coalition.
hold on. Let me get it straight. Don't say anything else. Wait. So we have a fundraiser for the Police Coalition, who's auctioning off an AR-15 in an urban community called Richmond, Virginia, that we that nationally we have a higher rate that men and women of color are more likely to be, I don't know, assassinated by people in blue uniforms. That's what we're saying here.
And Richmond police officers do carry this rifle.
Oh, that's nothing wrong with that at all.
So, and it's just, okay, so again, we're talking about the narrative, and I am not anti-police. Please do not come from my inbox.
Absolutely.
Nobody in this room,
I don't think. Well, no. I can't speak. Shonda M. Harris Muhammad, support men and women in uniform of all armed forces and local police departments. Let's be clear.
Okay.
Portia L. Foster also, you know, watches. I also support that message. However, what I cannot support is when that information,
sure,
and resources and knowledge,
absolutely,
and
influence, say so,
and weapons said previous places are used to attack the disenfranchised. Mm-hmm. And disenfranchise those who have different socioeconomic backgrounds and different zip codes to promote agenda or promote anything that's not serving and protecting. That's my signature on that.
You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and guns.
So with this entire piece, we're really looking at the messaging and the narrative and what community members' responsibilities are. You all are all educators, so you have a different perspective of you're looking out for your students, mm-hmm. you're looking out as well as your community, you're looking out for yourselves. And it really is, how does a community stand with you all as educators in the classroom, as working with the kids in nonprofit? Amy does work here as well as across the world. Portia has influence, again, across, where'd you go to school, girl?
Which one?
You know what I'm asking about. Don't act like that.
James Madison University mm-hmm. or when I studied at the University of Ghana?
University of Ghana. So we've got this level of influence here and power here, but we're still talking about our barriers, right? We're still talking about how we need the support from the community. So just as we're kind of wrapping up and sharing some things about each other, what from your role would you ask from the community to support you in protecting your classroom? And if we can skew it around the gun control narrative, let me ask that. So from your perspective as educators, what would you guys ask from the community?
I would ask from the community to, as an educator, to support us when we have identified that your child is having some challenges, okay? Either mentally, behaviorally, academically.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally.
Emotionally. Support us, because every principal, every building administrator, every educator, we are not all certified to provide round-the-clock mental health services, mm-hmm. to include emotional breakdowns. Mm-hmm. What people are failing to realize is that when children are choosing to go through a redevelopment process of themselves, that's an emotional piece. Mm. And then it can develop into pockets of mental health challenges. Mm-hmm. Support us, community. Support us, parents. When we say we need additional mm-hmm. mental health, certified mental, not guidance counselors, mental health counselors in our building all day long, not part-time, not shared with different buildings, we need legislation to support us with that.
I'm going to jump in just because I want to make something really clear. Shonda is repping Richmond Public Schools, and I want to be clear that Richmond Public Schools is full of brown and black babies. So when she's talking about mental health, we're talking about traumatized community, historically mm-hmm. traumatized, and that's why we need those supports for that mental health. We're talking about guns, and I don't want anyone to be confused about the mental health labels that a lot of these attackers are getting that are white men, and they get the label of mental health. I want to make that very clear, because that's a difference, another intersection that sure. we're hearing with gun violence and how that affects our babies of color versus the white men that are being labeled with mental health problems. So Shonda started this show to say, hey, voices, especially women voices, weren't heard. And she's asking the community now to hear that your teachers' voices, a lot of them of women, when they're saying, hey, let's support and uplift your child, because we need a little bit
Absolutely.
More. Thank you, Shonda.
Thank you.
Mine's a little bit different, because teaching at the university means that we have a different set of resources. We have a different set mm-hmm. of kids. For the most part, the kids who are in our classrooms at VCU want to be there. They're at VCU for very specific reasons around, you know, this is who they are and who they want to be. At the same time, there is this national narrative that's kind of anti-education, anti-science. It's, you know, that education should be or is considered something that's for people who are rich enough to pay for it, kind of thing. And so from kind of a community standpoint, VCU is pretty good in the sense of being liberal and having some access to resources, but we all need more resources for these kids who are at school trying to put themselves in a position to have better jobs, to get themselves where they need to be, basically. And I know that we don't have as many kids from the Richmond Public School System as would make sense. I mean, we're right there. We're in downtown Richmond.
Boom.
Why aren't more of our students from Richmond Public Schools? What legislation, what can our community do to help not have a school-to-prison pipeline, but a school-to-VCU pipeline kind of
Ooh.
Thing?
I like that.
So that's what I was saying.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
Wow, that just touched me and changed my narrative of what my response was going to be. But let's start here. You're asking what our ask is mm-hmm. for the community.
For the community.
As you said earlier, my list of where I am is in different pots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to make sure that my response is indicative and sharing, you know, who I am authentically, however, not to be all over the place. But to that end, it comes down, if we're going to really just talk about the basic gun control issue in terms of school, it comes down to legislation. Mm. My ask is, let's ask our legislators to stop being afraid. Let's ask NRA not to run our country and kill our children. Let's stand up and do something about this situation. My ask is for us to come together despite our differences and choose life over death with these guns. Now, am I anti-gun? No, I am not. I'm a country girl from the center of the universe called Ashland, Virginia. But, you know, when you have these mass shootings, it's so many different things to think about. We want to talk about the labeling, the mislabeling of our white counterparts in terms of they get to have mental health issues, which is inappropriate and incorrect and not labeled correctly. But what about how can we fix those things before we get there? Mm. And so what we can do before we have to start adding a label to something, before we start having a candlelight visual, before your name is a hashtag.
So you're saying that starts with legislation?
It starts with legislation. How do we get to legislation, though? Hmm. My ask is right. We need to band together. Right. And so how do we get to legislation is are these programs so we can intervene the prison to pipeline system so we can have more of our brown and black men around to support the family to give the balance that we need so our children won't be in these type of situations where they're emotionally broken. And all they know are the streets, and all they know are guns, and that's all they know is violence to express themselves.
You're listening to Women in Politics. I'm Carol Olson, and I co-host with Chelsea Higgs Wise. And today we're talking with a group of women spanning the education field. Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, a special ed teacher and member of the Young Dems. Now we return to our discussion about education and guns.
And not just talking about the men in the home, but men in the classroom.
Black in the classroom as well.
Classroom.
Because if you keep them in the home, then you can keep them and let them go down to VCU. Like shout out to my dad, 83 graduate education VCU. And so now you have men like him who's I have so many people who come to me like, oh my God, your dad was my teacher. He was awesome. But it's not too many of him. And so when we intervene, when we have support for the community, therefore we can have the educators in the classroom. And I'm going to go ahead and say it, Chandra, when you pay the people what they deserve with all 12 of those hats that they're carrying, case manager, teacher, educator, counselor. I was a teacher in the school for my whole first year. The students thought I was the counselor. Different from the guidance teacher, just because of the way I handled them. That's one hat amongst all the other ones, supply. So if you pay them appropriately, the way to the point to meet the need, you're going to have an influx of qualified people who care and who don't have the moonlight and who can do it.
First off, that was a big ask, but it's the heavy ask. It's the ask that we need.
You have not because you ask not.
Right. Hello. And I really wanted to also, before we wrap up the show, is there anybody that has some awesome things going on, coming up, that they want to shout out and put out there for us to keep a word
Yes,
out?
I do. Thank you so much for asking. March the 1st is my 45th birthday. But
Good, girl.
Thank you. I am having a meet and greet. It is also in 2018, my nonprofit's 10th birthday. Woo. So this year on August the 4th, I will be handing out 10,000 backpacks to children in the Richmond, Henrico, Chesterfield area on August the 4th from 9 until 1 p.m. at the Richmond Raceway.
Nice.
So on Thursday, March the 4th, if you all came from 7 to 9, come by the Speakeasy Grill and drop off school supplies. So don't give me shout out for my birthday, even though I love that and I like that, but drop off a school supply item to give to children that are in need for the next school year. So 10,000 backpacks is my goal. I am walking by faith. It will happen.
Fostering Visions is going to make sure that we're not only donating backpacks, but we're also going to be out
a vendor?
Yes.
Awesome.
Fostering Visions.
Thank you, Portia.
Thank you, ladies. All right, y'all. All right. So I just want to say thank you guys for listening. Thank you for my panel for being here. Thank you for my awesome co-host, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Thank you, thank Carol. You rock, girl. You rock. High five.
Carol is over here producing the show, doing the show, it, editing,
editing the show, keeping us on task, answering phone calls.
It's the bomb diggity.
Carol is actually the president here at the radio station.
Oh, you don't know.
Look at this woman running stuff. Look at it.
We need to talk about ACHI, Women Supported Women Organization. I need you all to be part.
Can we have one of our youngest, we talk about education.
Since we're talking about education,
I would like for one of
and
our
future
young,
feminists.
Our future, future feminists, featuring future
leader,
yes. Playmaker on more than one level, change warrior to come up here. And the reason why we do what we do every single day is for the youth, is for the children. And I wanted to see if we have a little a special guest could come and say something to us right quick. Let's see.
It's a pretty special,
a very, very special
hello
guest
that we might get really quickly.
A very special guy.
That's right.
Hi.
Hello.
What's your name, baby girl?
Alexa.
And how old are you?
5.
And what do you want to be when you grow up, baby girl?
I want to be a scientist like my mom.
Yeah, you better get it, girl.
And with that, you know what? We just got to end the show.
That's it. Women in Politics, VA. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you, Chelsea Hicks-Wise. Love you.
Carol Olson, Shonda Harris-Muhammad, Amy Rector, and Portia L. Foster. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
And that wraps our show for this month. You've been listening to Women in Politics with Carol Olson, Chelsea Hicks-Wise. For this month, we sat down with local educators, Dr. Amy Rector from VCU, Shonda Harris-Muhammad from Northside Coalition for Children, and Portia Foster, local educator. Women in Politics is produced in the studios of WRIR-LP, 97.3 FM, Richmond's independent radio. Tune in next week for Common Thread with Fatima Smith, and Women in Politics will be back in April.